listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. And I'm Peggy Hartshorn, your host for the day, chairman of the board of Heartbeat International that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. And we have a powerful story today that I think will really be fascinating and impactful. And it's so near and dear to my heart because it's the story of a heroic lady named Magayla Frazier, who made a choice for life in the midst of a lot of pressure on her not to do that. And it's the story of how God really inspired her choice in many ways, put lots of pieces together to help her, including one of our wonderful pregnancy centers in Dayton, Ohio. We also have as our guest Meg Carnahan, who is the director of the center services there at Elizabeth's New Life Center. Welcome to you, Meg.
Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity.
And welcome, Magayla.
Thank you for having me.
I think our listeners will really be interested to see what really happens when someone has a crisis pregnancy, the fear, the feelings that occur, and why sometimes do we need the help of a pregnancy center that can come in and really provide help and support and family when you really need it. So we want to share your inspiring story, Magayla. I was so inspired by your story when you came with the Heartbeat International team to our Babies Go to Congress in Washington this year. And you came, you told your story to the congressional representatives. You let them know the great life-affirming work that's going on in the Dayton area. And you told your story, which was really powerful. And then you joined us on the March for Life, and that was really fun, wasn't it?
Yes.
You and Arianne. So that was your first time at the March for Life. Was it your first time in Washington, too?
No, this was my second experience to Washington. When I was in eighth grade, I went to student in government.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Wow, this is just another extension in your way of impacting our legislators. And it's so important for them to know and for everyone to know what is happening in their districts and what kind of help and support is available and mm-hmm. how are women making a heroic choice for life, even despite their circumstances. So, Magayla, tell us about what happened when you found out that you were pregnant and how you ended up actually coming to one of our pregnancy centers?
Well, I was late for my menstrual cycle, about maybe a month, and I didn't know where to go. Our parents were very strict and religious, and so I took 4 pregnancy tests to just verify that I was pregnant, and they all said pregnant. And I'm like, oh, God, I got this pregnancy test from the Dollar Tree. I'm like, I don't have money to pay for this. And they all said pregnant. So we kind of like did like a Google search to see if there was any resource centers or any pregnancy centers that we can go just to verify that I was indeed pregnant. And we found Elizabeth New Life Center. We scheduled an appointment, and when we got there, they were very warming, and they were really happy to see us, and we just felt welcome when we went there. So the first step is a free ultrasound. I heard the heartbeat of my daughter. It was so strong, and I just couldn't believe that I had a human being inside of me.
Was that kind of a shock to you? I mean, were you thinking of her as more, oh, this, I don't know what this pregnancy is? I know sometimes people talk about the developing baby as products of conception or, you know, your late period. They don't really sometimes talk about it as a baby. So was it kind of surprising to find that she really did have a heartbeat and to see her on the screen?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
usually sometimes when we're stressed with work and school, you know, we may miss our cycle and we're just like, oh, I'm just stressed. You know, mm-hmm. who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, who cares? It'll come in a few days. Mm-hmm. But I did have that cramp, the cramping, the menstrual cramping. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, maybe it's coming, but it didn't come.
And all of a sudden, there was a baby.
Okay. I just couldn't believe that God gave me a reason to basically be a parent, or even this process just woke me up to just let me know what my purpose is. And mm-hmm. so far, I'm still finding that out, but my purpose is to be a mother so far right now.
But despite that, and I think a lot of people think, wow, it's wonderful that pregnancy centers have ultrasounds. And now it's kind of like a magic bullet. People will see the ultrasound and choose life. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't always work quite that way. And it didn't in your case, Michaela, because even though you experienced the ultrasound there, mm-hmm. you still had that there was pressure from your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You were a student. Mm-hmm. This pregnancy was going to interrupt school. Tell us about how you were feeling and what led you eventually to an abortion clinic.
Okay. Well, I was 22 years old. I was full-time in school and part-time working. And I had so much going for myself. And as I stated before, our parents were really strict and they had a lot of religious morals.
Felt ashamed.
I was mm-hmm. very ashamed. And then the people that we went to church with, you know, what would they say? Our friends, what would they say too? And it's just like, well, they're not in my shoes. So I had to put on my big girl shoes and go from there. What happened was we did, you know, we were like, okay, well, we are pregnant. Where do we go from now? Where do we go from here? So I'm like, well, maybe we can just get the money and just get an abortion and just don't tell anybody and just be done with it.
Yeah. And that feeling in your story, and I know, Meg, I'm sure you've heard similar stories at Elizabeth's New Life Center, and I have through many years, even though you began to sense that you were a mother, mm-hmm. You heard that baby's heartbeat and you saw how strong it was, the pressures, the feeling, how can we do this? And the shame of the pregnancy, if you were afraid of what your parents would say, his parents, your parents, they would be shocked that you were involved in a sexual activity that led you to become pregnant. And so the thought is, well, this abortion is just going to take me back. So as if I never were pregnant in the beginning, mm-hmm. let's just turn back the clock. Many, many girls feel that way, mm-hmm. Miguela. It's not unusual. So, but you and your boyfriend then ended up in an abortion clinic.
Yes.
Tell us what happened at that point.
Well, we had scheduled an appointment for an abortion and, she told me right up front we had to have $250 for the consultation. So we went there and we received another ultrasound. And she said, yes, you're indeed pregnant. And I'm like, okay, well, when we were there, it was so dark and it was very cold in there. Like the feeling was just unbearable.
Very different than the pregnancy center.
Very, the opposite.
And did they show you the screen of the baby when they did the ultrasound in the abortion clinic?
No.
Okay. So they did an ultrasound, but they didn't explain it to you or show you or let you hear the baby's heartbeat as they had done at the pregnancy center.
No, the screen was, she was facing the screen the whole time. And then they just did the procedure when they put the machine on my belly and everything of that sort. But, no, she didn't. I didn't get to see her again.
So their intention in doing the ultrasound was to determine how far along you were in the pregnancy so they would know what type of abortion to perform.
Yes.
But they had no intention to help you understand the development of your baby or exactly what would happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
They did not do that.
So what happened then?
After the ultrasound procedure, I had to sign some documents and me and my boyfriend were sitting in the clinic, the waiting area, as you would say, and I just kind of talked to him. I'm like, are we sure we really want to do this? Because I don't feel like this is right. And
your maternal instinct was coming in there, Miguela.
Yes. I said, I don't think this is right, and I think we need to think this over again. So I signed the paperwork, and I asked the receptionist as we were leaving out. We had scheduled an appointment for a week later, and she said I had to have the remaining of the deposit, which was an additional $250. And I'm like, well, what do you guys do with the babies or the fetus after you guys get done with the procedure? And she said, we just throw them away. And that just made me sick to my stomach. And I'm just like, did she just say what I thought she just said? And she said, we just throw them away. Like nothing. Like it was nothing. Like nothing happened. And just go on about your day. And that just made me sick to my stomach. I couldn't deal with it. After we left there, we got in the car and we still were going back and forth. And I said, well, what do you think I should do? And he was like, well, it's your body. My parents are going to kill me. And I'm like, yeah, my mom's going to kill me too. So we're both going to be dead. We have a baby that we're supposed to be bringing into the life. And he just basically said, well, whatever you decide, I'll be there for you no matter what. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. So a week went past and it was a time for the abortion, the date of the abortion. And I woke up out of my bed. My knees were buckling. I felt sick to my stomach. I could barely walk, and something just came over me. I was shaking, barely shaking like a leaf in a fall day. And I just was just, I'm like, I can't do this. So I called the clinic as soon as they opened, because I had a later appointment later on in the day. And I just asked her, I said, I don't think I can do this. This is not going to work for me. And she's like, well, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, I'm positive. Like, I can't do this. And she's like, well, I'm like, well, can I get my money back? I want my money back to take care of my baby. No, you can't get your money back. That's the whole reason of the consultation. I said, okay, well, all right. So I hung up on her because I was so mad. Mm-hmm. But I went, I decided, I'm like, okay. Well, I did receive a folder from Elizabeth New Life Center. They advised me of the parenting classes that they had available and the other resources that they offer. And I just kind of sat there and just read over the folder. And I was just like, okay, I can do this. I'm 22 years old. I'm young, but I think I could do this. So I did call Elizabeth New Life Center, and I spoke to the receptionist there, and I said, I'm pregnant. I was there a few weeks ago, and I want to sign up for the parenting classes you have available. So I went there.
And that was the beginning of your relationship with Meg, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I want to let her pick up on the story at this point. But I love your story, Miguela, in that I know that God implanted in us women mm-hmm. this wonderful maternal instinct. You know, we naturally love our babies mm-hmm. and know that this is our baby, you yes. know, when we are pregnant. But there's so much in the world today that can cause us to push that down and mm-hmm. to ignore that and to choose things that are unhealthy for our babies and for ourselves, and particularly abortion. So I love how God really aroused that maternal instinct in you and allowed you, first of all, to have that ultrasound at Elizabeth's New Life Center. You would not have had that maternal instinct aroused with the ultrasound they gave you at the abortion clinic, right? They didn't even show you the screen.
Correct.
So God allowed you to awaken that maternal instinct to protect and guard your baby's life. Mm-hmm. And you had the courage then to ask, what's going to happen to my baby? Mm-hmm. And when you heard that, you knew that was not right.
Right.
And even though you were young and you were in school and you didn't have much support, and it turns out that your family and your boyfriend turned out not to be as supportive as we wish they had been, right?
Correct.
But God then supplied Elizabeth's New Life Center, and particularly Meg, to help you along the way. So I love how God put all those steps together, and you said yes. You said, yes, I will honor this gift that you've given me, God, and I will protect my baby. It's a beautiful story. So thank you for sharing it. Our guest today is Michaela Frazier, who is a client of Elizabeth's New Life Center in Dayton, Ohio. She traveled with Heartbeat International to tell her story to Congress at Babies Go to Congress. And I think her story is just such a beautiful example of that maternal instinct that God gave to all mothers, and how he puts in place opportunities for women to rise to the occasion of taking care of their babies, even in very difficult circumstances. If that woman says yes to the promptings of the Lord, which you did, and I got to meet your beautiful daughter, Arion, who's now 5, right?
Thank you. She'll be 5 at the end of this month.
Absolutely. Well, I'd love to talk to Meg a little bit and have her chime in here, because God also put in place, when you said, I want to go and have some parenting classes. I know I'm a mother. I'm going to call and get some parenting classes.
Yes.
That's when Meg came in. And Meg, I know that you happened to be teaching the parenting class that night.
Yes, yes. What Michaela didn't know at the time, I know that she knows this now, is that she was surrounded in prayer the entire time.
Good.
So before she even walked in that door, every morning, every one of our pregnancy centers is opened with prayer. And we just pray the Spirit upon that place so that he can welcome all of those women. And so all of our ministry is focused on, you know, following God's leading. And mm-hmm. So God has had a hand in Michaela's story and in Arion's life from the very beginning. And yes, we lead spiritual classes. So I was in charge of a Bible study. And I had a whole series of lessons that I was doing, and I was prepared for the class. Class started at 10. And at about 9:45, I felt God telling me, no, you need to do something else. And, you know, there are so many times where we feel God talking to us, and I want to say I just willingly submitted. But no, of course, I was like, are you nuts? I'm actually prepared. You know, I got things ready. I'm on time.
I've got my lesson plan.
Exactly.
I'm ready to go.
But I did listen to that leading, and I changed my lesson completely. And the second that Michaela walked in that door, I knew exactly why God had me change that lesson. Michaela had a special place in my heart from the first time that I saw her. And so she had been on my thoughts and in my prayers.
So and you had seen her the first time she came in for ultrasound.
I did.
Wow.
Her and the father of the baby were discussing all of their options. She was undecided, you know, from the beginning. So I did educate her on the abortion procedure, on how that would affect her emotionally and physically. We talked about adoption. We talked about parenting, and just offered that support from the very beginning. And when she walked into that class that day, the lesson, the focus of that lesson was bonding with your baby. And not just bonding with your baby, but praying for your child. And the activity that we did was each mother wrote a letter to their unborn baby. And they just wrote to them, you know, about the dreams and the hopes that they had for them, what they wanted them to aspire to be. And Michaela sat there and she did the lesson and she cried, of course. But again, you talk about the motherly instinct, you know, when she heard that heartbeat, most definitely, you know, God just awoken that in her. But to sit there and write to that little girl, that she didn't know she was a girl yet. She wasn't sure. You know, she was only maybe 6 to 8 weeks pregnant. But just to put life, and that's what it is. That's the life of that child, to make it real. You know, she was a mother the instant that child was conceived. And
right.
So just giving her that recognition.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I'm sure you remember that first class, right, Michaela?
I do.
What do you remember about it and writing to your baby?
Just letting them know that I'm here for you. I'm here for you. That's the best thing that I can offer you, is to be here. Any of their hopes and dreams, it's obtainable. Just to be, you know, talk to your mom about anything. I think that's the big thing, is just having that support there. The,
you know, you can go to your mom or you go to your parent or your grandparent or whoever is there. You can talk to them. They're there. We're going to be riding this out together.
And that's what you said to your baby. Yeah. I'm going to be there for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I, again, I had the opportunity to meet Arianne, who's a gorgeous little girl. Absolutely beautiful and so sweet. And she's so in love with you. You could see you cuddling each other. And she was so good, even in the cold day there at the March for Life. She hung in there. She's a trooper, just like her mom. I hear she was singing all day, too. After what song were they singing at the rally, at the March for Life?
Our voice is getting stronger.
Our voice is getting stronger. And she loved that song, and she was singing it all day, right?
Yeah, she wouldn't stop. I was like, please stop singing that song. She's like, but I love that song, Mommy. I'm like, okay.
Well, your voice is getting stronger, Miguela, and her voice is getting stronger. God is really working in your lives. Tell us the rest of the story then. So did you have to drop out of school? What happened?
Yes, ma'am. I did have to put my education on hold. I had some difficulties in the pregnancy, with my pelvic and everything. So I just took off of work, and then I just took off for school, and I just figured I want to take this time to figure out what's going on with my body.
To have a healthy pregnancy.
Healthy pregnancy and to get my mind together. Things between me and her father, it turned out for the worst. And I just told him it would be best if we went our separate ways. So that was another thing that kind of hit home that was really challenging for me. Just like, I'm going to be doing all this by myself.
More obstacles. But you didn't end up doing it all by yourself, right?
No.
Elizabeth's New Life Center kind of became your family, didn't they?
Yes. They have emergency milk. I think one time I did need the emergency milk, the formula.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through postpartum.
Depression.
Mm-hmm. I spoke to one of the ladies there that helped me get through that, and they prayed for me.
Tell us about the day you actually delivered Arianne.
Oh, goodness. the day of, I went to the restroom, and I seen that I was losing my mucus plug, and I was like, what? And I read it in one of the pamphlets that they gave me, and I was like, oh, my God.
This is a sign.
Yes. Yeah. And she was overdue. I'm like, when is she coming? So I called them. I had to call them like 1,000 times.
You called
that
the nurse at Elizabeth's New Life Center. I think you said about 30 times.
Yes.
During your labor.
Yes. It was the on-call nurse. Uh-huh. And they're available 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So I called her and I'm like, I just lost my mucus plug. What happens now? She's like, are you going through contractions? I was like, not yet. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. There is a contraction. Something's going on. So she's like, yeah, you're going through labor. She's like, I need you to walk. I said, walk? I said, what? What am I walking for? And she was like, you know, to get the body ready to have the process. So I was like, okay, I'm walking. So I'm walking and talking on the phone. And I was like, okay, what happens now? She's like, did you pack your bag? I said, yes, ma'am. It's been ready since day one.
That's great.
So
they walked you through every step of the way
for
the labor and delivery. And then Meg came after the baby was born. Is that right?
Yeah, she came to the hospital and Ari was born March the 30th. And the next holiday was Easter. She bought her an Easter onesie and a card.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And they've been there with you every step of the way, right?
Yeah, Ari will be 5, and they've been there ever since.
And now you're employed again.
Yes.
I know you had a job when I was with you in Washington. That job ended, but now I hear you're actually employed at Elizabeth New Life Center.
Yes, I'm working there.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Wow.
Not only is she working there, but she will start school again in March.
Oh, wonderful. That's so great. God has really put people in your life, Miguela, from the first time you became, obviously, the first moment of your pregnancy. He loves you and Arianne more than anyone else, of course, and has put so many people in place and Elizabeth's New Life Center to really walk with you every step of the way. And it's such a beautiful story. And I love your courage and your maternal instinct that has helped you overcome every obstacle along the way. It's and there were many, many obstacles. It hasn't been easy, right? And I wish all of our listeners could see your beautiful face as you're sharing your story and the tears that have been running down your eyes as you've been telling your story, because you're so sensitive to the Lord and to everything that He's provided for you and for Arion. And I'm so thankful for that, and thankful for Elizabeth's New Life Center. Yes. And Meg and all the people there that have stood with you along the way. So thank you both for coming and telling this beautiful story of how God not only provides that maternal instinct, but the grace and the support and the help so that there always is an alternative to abortion. And He will be there. Often His hands and feet are those like at the pregnancy center who are there to support you every step of the way. So thank you, Miguela, and thank you, Meg, for being with us. And you've been listening to The Family Sanctuary on AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, and I'm your host for today, Peggy Hartshorn. Please listen to the archives at stgabrielradio.com, and our program is broadcast every Monday at 12:30 and again at 2 on Sundays. Join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Marianne Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte,
Spiritus. My family left the church because of a very negative experience with a specific priest, and that took my whole family away from going to church for a long period of time. There were other Catholic churches, and there were great Catholic churches and great priests, but we stopped because of that one specific instance. And in a way, I was cheated out of a big part of my journey and my life because we weren't in the church. In life, it seems like we're always enslaved to something, and I think that's basically what our culture is all about right now. Is we are enslaved to power or to greed or to wealth or to lust, but there's a true freedom to not be enslaved, but to attach ourselves to God and to be free. My involvement in the church, my relationship with God, is who I am. It's what gives me my identity. Thank God I'm home.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.